Miss something? Never mind.
I know you can't wait.
You can catch up right here. Catch up right here. Claire and Dane's podcast.
Cyclone Debbie is still a couple of hours away from reaching landfall.
Just watching on Channel 9, they're actually interviewing at the moment someone who is staying at one of the hotels on the island,
Hamilton Island.
He said that they've been told to stay in their bathrooms. They're on lockdown in their bathrooms because, keeps them away from windows and everything else. But that's got to be pretty scary.
Yeah, for sure. And it's funny looking at the pictures. You're seeing people in Airlie Beach, they're copying it at the moment. And then you cross back to Townsville and it's picture-perfect day almost. It's crazy. And we did catch up with Cliffo, actually from Hit up in Townsville to get the latest. And the good news for Townsville is actually tracking a little bit south now.
Yes.
Bowen looks like it is going to be right in the firing line. And we caught up with Cliffo from Hit in Townsville earlier this morning.
Hey, guys. Yeah, it has tracked a bit further south of where we are in Townsville. So if people don't know Townsville, about sort of 2 hours drive south of us is a little town called Bowen. It's the mango capital of Australia, home of the big mango.
Yeah.
And it looks like that's where the eye of the cyclone will cross, probably around 10 or 11 this morning.
Yep.
But we're not in the clear yet. We are going to get the fringes of the cyclone over Townsville. We're starting to see some of the rain bands and the wind in some of our coastal areas, sort of as we speak right now.
So, Cliffo, does that mean that there's going to be a lot more towns affected if it tracks a bit further downwards?
Look, not necessarily. To be honest, it's moved down to sort of the Bowen, Airlie Beach area, which, if anything, are smaller towns than sort of Townsville. It's kind of the capital of North Queensland, you know, population-wise. Mm. That doesn't mean it's a better result. It's still going to be equally as devastating for those communities. But yeah, definitely our community in Townsville, we're sort of breathing a sigh of relief this morning and just, you know, thoughts with our mates down south who are just copping a battering right now.
Yeah, it's sort of funny. Watching it on TV at the moment, some reporters in Townsville, it seems very calm, and then other reporters, it's starting to get quite windy and rain. But Cliffo, for us watching on TV, we see the rain, we see the wind, but we're not really experiencing it. What's one thing, can you describe to us what is actually like when the storm hits?
I don't know if I did a lot of crosses yesterday. I don't know if I told this to you guys, so if I'm repeating myself, I apologise. But one of the craziest things I ever saw during Cyclone Yasi, which was in 2011, and that hit about 170 kilometres north of us, it blew out the inside of all the McDonald's restaurants' golden arches.
Yeah.
So, you know, the big yellow bits, the big M's. The winds were so fierce that it blew all of that, all the lighting, all the mechanics. So you just had these weird skeletal golden arches around Townsville. It was really, really eerie, but that's how, you know, ferocious the winds of a cyclone can actually be. Like, we'll pull trees out of the ground like they are nothing.
So everyone around the areas that are being affected has been evacuated as such. And what kind of emergency plans have people got in place in case something does happen?
There's evacuation centres open. They're not very comfortable. They do ask people just to move to friends and family in safe zones. They've set up all North Queensland townships. Everyone lives in a different designated zone, and you know what your zone is. It's on your rate notice. So they can easily say, right, if you live in the red zone or the orange zone, you have been evacuated. Go to family and friends in the blue zone or the white zone or whatever.
Okay.
And if you can't get to any of those zones, go to the evacuation centres. All you have there is a chair, and you can only bring enough stuff to fit under that chair.
Yeah.
So they're very, very uncomfortable and they're very, very cramped. So, you want to avoid those if you can. So most people shelter with family and friends.
But they're also very, very safe, Cliffo, which is the main thing.
They're cyclone rated.
Yeah, exactly right. Cliffo, one thing as well for us who may or not have been in a situation is the sound of the winds. Like we can say 200 kilometre per hour winds, 280 kilometre per hour winds, but we don't know what that is. But apparently the sound is something that's quite interesting, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, you can be in any building at all. Like even, the building I work in is a radio station, so it's fairly soundproof, and all you hear is this weird kind of this non-stop howling.
Wow.
That's the only way you can describe it. It's like a non-stop howling, and it's just like a constant reminder. The amazing thing, though, like I mentioned to you guys yesterday, I've got a young daughter, nearly 3-year-old daughter. Young kids like that, it's actually, because it's just this constant sort of like the sound of waves or something, it's just a constant, so they tend to sleep through it. It's kind of bizarre.
Wow.
Yeah, so it freaks the adults out and it calms the kids. It's kind of odd.
A small silver lining for a terrifying situation, Cliffo, mate. Well, stay safe, bunker down. It is expected to hit landfall, what is it, like 9, 10 o'clock today across Bowen? Is that the idea?
About 10 o'clock local time, so about 11-ish your time.
All right, okay. Well, stay safe, mate.
Yeah,
and
good luck.
We'll catch up soon, Cliffo.
No worries. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Claire, we've been catching TBL Transformed.
I've got a few of the episodes so far.
Brand new take on the show. It's not just about the weight loss. It's also about transforming their lives for the better.
Yeah, mentally, physically, basically your entire life needs to change is the way they're looking at it.
Nutritionally as well. But last night, it was a very emotional episode. Someone threatened to walk out. But after an elimination challenge, Steph was the contestant to get the boot last night. And she joins us right now. Good morning, Steph.
Good morning, Dan. Good morning, Claire. How are you?
Yeah, we're good, thanks. Now, Steph, I know that it's probably quite, like, emotional when you first leave, but how are you feeling now?
Yeah, oh, look, I feel fantastic at the moment, but watching it again last night, I was disappointed all over again that I got booted out.
Yeah, from a brutal rope hang. Have you done any of those since being on the show?
Oh, look, I actually went and did a raw challenge on the weekend, which is a bit like a Spartan race, and I had to climb up a rope with knots in it like that, but it was walking up a, you know, a sort of a great big wall thing as well, so... it was much better. But, the rope was a killer and I couldn't move my arms for 2 days after that.
Oh, Jeez. Wow. Now, you did go on the show because you weren't feeling or looking like the bride you deserved to be. That was your motivation to go on the show. Looking back, is that still the right motivation for you?
Look, the motivation the whole time has been to completely change my life, and clearly, like, the wedding is, you know, it's a nice goal to be able to look great on your day, but the motivation was purely health perspective and trying to, live the life that, you know, I should have been living.
Yeah, absolutely. And so how do you feel you went while you're on the show? Do you feel like you got the most that you could get out of it on the time you were there?
I feel like I squeezed every drop of experience out of it for sure, but of course I just wanted to stay as long as I possibly could because, you know, it's just such a controlled environment that you've got that opportunity to lose so much more weight while you're in there. So I was, very... stressed that I was leaving.
Hey, Steph, how disruptive is it when someone like Josh comes out, has a bit of a blow-up, threatens to walk out? Is that sort of put you off your game and your training a little bit, or do you just block that sort of stuff out?
No, look, I think because it's such an intense environment, we could all completely and utterly relate to what he was thinking and feeling. And, you know, when I saw it last night on TV, I was a little bit surprised at how he was feeling about the whole situation. I didn't realise that it had got to him so dramatically because, you know, the rest of us were quite open and talking to each other about, you know, missing home and missing kids and things like that. So, yeah, it was a surprise to see that he was in that state of mind, actually. But, it doesn't throw us off our game, just sort of come around and support each other a bit more, I think.
Well, that's good. I mean, the other thing, Steph, is so you've been out of the show now for a while. How are you feeling within yourself now and when it comes to your fitness?
Yeah, look, my fitness and my body are very different. So
For the better, of course.
Most definitely. I've found the fitness that I had back in 2012 when I was training and exercising regularly. I've found all of that again. I just feel alive. I've got so much more energy to get through the day. You know, I used to spend half the day half asleep, I'm sure, and dragging my feet, whereas now everything's just really easy. So, yeah, it's a whole new way of living.
Fantastic.
And you love ropes. And you love ropes now too. That's true, isn't it?
Love rope climbs. Just did one this morning, in fact.
Can't get enough of them, Steph. Well, you're fantastic to watch. Can't wait to see you at finale and see how much you have transformed. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me, guys. Bye.
See ya. Hey, Dane, you know how technology is advancing so fast so often?
Yeah, it's actually scary.
It is a little bit at times, isn't it? Well, one technology that has come leaps and bounds is obviously medical science.
Oh, huge.
I mean, we transplant organs now. We understand most of the body. We still don't fully understand the brain, I don't think.
No.
I think there's still a lot of confusion there. And we do a lot of transplants.
Yes.
And they tend to work out pretty well.
Eyes. arms.
Do we do eyes? I don't know if we do eyes now, do we?
You can transplant eyes, because you can donate them. Anything, really.
Well, the only thing that hasn't been done till now, really, would have to be a human head.
What?
There is a man who is from Italy. He's a surgeon.
Yes.
And he's going to be doing the first head transplant later this year.
A head transplant?
Yes. So he is literally going to take the head of a Russian software developer who is alive and all the rest of it. We're not making zombies here.
Yeah, right.
And he has muscular dystrophy,
okay.
So can't use a lot of his
body. Confined to a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Yep.
So they're going to put his brain and his head, his whole head,
yes,
on top of, in replace of someone who has is brain dead.
Right, okay. So we've got somebody who is brain dead with a body. We've got this guy who has muscular dystrophies, confined to a wheelchair. They're going to take his head, that's right, right?
Yes.
And putting it on the brain dead person's body.
Yes.
So a head transplant.
A head transplant. Now, this procedure is going to take about 36 hours.
Yes.
It's 12 million euros.
Oh, my God.
And, look, there's no guarantee, really, obviously.
Well, no. Because I've got to line up, obviously, the spinal cord.
Yeah, yeah, all the spinal cord. It's more about the nerves and being able to get the nerves to talk to each other again and all the rest of it, especially when it's not your own body in the first place. They're going to have to cool his head, though, to around minus or 12 degrees Celsius. I don't know how the body will deal with that. Look, there's so many variables in this, and obviously everyone knows the risks that are involved. But what scares me is that all the head transplants they've attempted to do on monkeys so far have quickly resulted in death.
Oh, no.
But you know what? Let's take it to the human level anyway, right?
Yeah, exactly right.
There are actually some neurologists and neurological surgeons that are very against this. They've actually said here to The Sun, I would not wish this on anyone. Mm. I would not allow anyone to do it to me, as there's things a lot worse than death.
Imagine the pain as well post-surgery.
Well, they're saying, the doctor that's going to do this is saying that he could be walking within a year. But you think about it, someone who's been brain dead, their muscles haven't been moving in the first place.
Well, exactly right. And then you've got to train your head to that body.
Plus, you've got to try and get their muscles back in order.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's if the transplant even works. It is crazy. And I cannot wait to give you an update when this finally happens.
Claire, I think the doctors have gotten ahead of themselves here.
Oh, Jesus.